Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. This week, we met ornithologist Heather Bothwell, who shared a dawn chorus in Cavan with us. So, sit back, relax, and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
So this morning we went very early to listen to the dawn chorus in a native woodland in County Cavan, and I wonder how many birds you can hear. If you're a bird, you have a very short life. So a whole night is really quite a long time in your life. So you have survived the night and you need to tell all your buddies, I'm still here. Don't be after my nest site. Don't be after my chick. She's still here. She's still mine. I'm going to rear these chicks and you can just clear off. So it's very important to the birds to say, I've survived the night, because especially these nights lately, they've been cold and difficult. So they're shouting from the rooftops, I'm here. So they shout, and they obviously they're very much full of testosterone, saying to the females, I'm the most handsome guy you're ever going to get. Don't be looking at anybody else now. So they're shouting that they exist. It's all these guys, you know. You can't trust them at all. But some female birds do sing, especially in the wintertime, but especially in the spring, they reckon that it's mostly males that are doing the singing. We just take it for granted, don't we? We don't, I suppose, until you're incarcerated and you don't get to hear that, or you're stuck in a city with, well, you get seagulls and all, I suppose, and we do look for, you know, what's the phrase? I know why the caged bird sings. You know, really, you really do look for things that uplift you. I don't know too much about bird circadian rhythms. The same as ourselves, we have these rhythms that, you know, get us up in the morning, and so birds must have some kind of inbuilt rhythms as well. But also, they're also very sensitive to the increasing day length, so they know it's spring by the increasing day length. Different birds have different eye sizes and obviously different places in the ecology of the woodland. So a bird such as a robin, relative to the size of their head, have quite a big eye. And they are one of the first you get when it's still dark. In fact, now with streetlights and all, you'll hear them singing in the middle of the night, but they sing when it's still dark, one of the first ones. And then as the thing goes on, the rest of the thrushes, the blackbirds, missel thrushes come in, and then following that, the other birds come in. So there's a sequence, not that they respect the sequence, but because they have different ecological ways of working in the woodland. The birds such as song thrush and blackbird have a very strong song, and it's very impressive. It really does fill the air. So when they get going, our ears tend to hear that as a peak, that we say, yes, this is really the chorus, because it's song thrush are famous for such a strong song. Missel thrush is quite a strong song as well. Whereas some wee birds have a wee song that, as you age, unfortunately, you lose the ability to hear. So birds like goldcrest have a very wee fine song. Birds like tree creeper and goldcrest. And in fact, the BTO has records that suddenly there was a big increase in these species, but it wasn't an increase in these species. It was because the old majors and generals and all, it was the young people coming in, and suddenly they could hear them. So it meant that, I don't know how they mix that, because there are young bird watchers, but there does tend to be old fogies like myself out bird watching as well. But I can still hear goldcrest. So the wren is the bird that's making the trill you can hear. So he sings and then he finishes with a trill. That's the wren now. And the song thrush is repeating his song. He's quite loud, but he's at some distance away from us now. They tend to say everything three times. That was a pheasant given a quick shout. And the chaffinch is in there too, and they have a descending, they end of, they come down and then they give a flourish at the end, they go up again at the end. Sort of at the end, sort of going, doo doo. I remember nicking my parents' alarm clock, because I didn't own an alarm clock. My parents did, to get up to go to work. I nicked it and took it down to my room and set it for 5 o'clock in the morning and got up, because I knew that in the morning the bird watching was better. And of course, you know, parents of a young child didn't really want their child wandering about at 5 o'clock in the morning down to local fields and things, but they sort of tolerated me. I was very lucky, but it was a long time ago. I was about 7, and the Mid-Antrim Field Club would go out every Saturday morning, and we were doing what was called CBS, which is Common Bird Survey. And there was a lovely gentleman who recently deceased called Aidan Forsyth, and he was teaching the Mid-Antrim Field Club how to do Common Bird Survey, which was a long time ago, back in Ballymena on a place called Black's Farm. Long time ago. I would go along with my father. My father would take me along, and apparently the story is that I would be pulling at his arm and saying, "Ask him what that bird is. Ask him what that bird is." And I'd be annoying him, and he really didn't really know what the birds were at all. "Ask him what that bird is," because I was too shy to. So I was the little kid in my little orange pack-a-mack trundling along. The Mid-Antrim Field Club was probably a successor to another field club which had been going for, you know, donkey's years, way back into the 1920s, 1930s, and my grandfather would have gone. And in those days you didn't drive, you walked, and they would have looked at archaeology, they would have looked at geology. So there's a great tradition of just the ordinary people going out and being involved in natural history and archaeology and local culture. Great tradition that we have in this country. Now, I suppose looking back on it, I suppose you might call it a wee bit nerdy, but I would get up in the morning, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and go out, and it's a great kick for me to find kingfisher and to find the nests of sand martin and find birds that were a wee bit different, that you wouldn't just get in your garden, you know, linnets and sedge warblers and things like that, in slightly different habitats. So it was great. And then there was other children as well, because they did form what in those days what was called the Young Ornithologists Club. And there would be organised trips, and we'd go off to Rathlin Island and off to McGilligan. Marvellous. We were very lucky, only because of the goodness of people like Ron Walker and Barbara Montgomery, who organised these trips for young people. So it was good. Mixture, all kinds of people came. So at the moment I can hear Goldcrest, which is a very fine wee song. Now the wood is dominated by blackcap singing away and wood pigeon. So the wood pigeon is going doo 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 doo. And the blackcap is a lovely warbling sound. And they've come in from North Africa. And they're one of the leaf warblers that you get up and round the leaves of the trees. So that's what we call here in Cavan the grey crow singing there, or more correctly, the hooded crow. And they occur in Ireland and in Scotland. And then when you go into Western Europe, they disappear. But as you go further east, they are back again. So when our soldiers were over fighting during the Napoleonic Wars, as they worked east, they suddenly found their old friends, the grey crows. And of course, sadly, in those days, the grey crows would be feeding on the casualties in war. So they had some kind of idea that these were sort of taking their souls back to Ireland. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Going out birdwatching has changed for me. When I was up at home in Ballymena, blackcap was rarer, a lot rarer than it is now. We're talking about the 1970s, 1980s. Now blackcap is in every wee patch of woodland. It's increased by over 1,000%. It's an extraordinary increase. So that does dominate a lot of birdsong. The other bird that's come in and has spread to the west is great spotted woodpecker. And they've come in, they've done the DNA analysis and they know it's come in from Wales. So it's come in first on the east coast, and they're now into Leitrim, they're into West Cavan, and they're breeding in Leitrim and West Cavan, I believe, into Sligo as well. So it's one of those movements of a bird species that we've been able to track all the way along. We have lost very famous birds from a lot of our landscapes, such as corncrake, curlew, and those birds are birds that nest in open ground and on the ground. And it's an indication of the change in land use and how machinery has changed and things like that. In woodlands, it hasn't been the same. There's been more of an increase, but certainly there's been a very sad decline in a lot of ground nesting birds, which includes a lot of waders. There has been some birds particularly associated with tillage, such as yellowhammer, which used to be quite common in County Cavan and has declined and really has been confined to the tillage areas of the east, County Meath, County Wexford, that kind of area. Even though I'm not a Cavan born and bred, I married into the Bothwell family, and so I'm fortunate that I had my father-in-law, my late father-in-law, talking about birds and new birds. He died in his 90s, so he knew a lot of the birds all through the 20th century. And he would talk about the birds that are gone from our farm in Kilishandra. So even when my husband was a young man, there was breeding curlew on our place, there was breeding lapwing on our place, there was regular barn owl, there was yellowhammer, there was grey partridge, those birds. So these are all, a lot of these that I've mentioned are ground nesting birds. And in his lifetime, obviously, my father-in-law would have moved from working with horses, making a lot of hay, and only having, when he was a young man, in his father's time, there was 10 cows in the place. So it's great changes in the landscape. And unfortunately, there always hasn't been room for the birds to be there as well. When you go out, because the dawn course happens in the spring, and just naturally we have this, some people have called it biophilia, we actually need that greenness. We need just to be able to be out in that green. And there's a release. There's something that makes us relax, something that does our hearts a lot of good just to be there. And there's so much going on. And it's so fascinating just to stop and say, there's more in this world than us. There's birds, and of course, to have birds, you have to have loads of insects for them to be eating. You have to have all the different plants for the insects to be on. So there's a whole living thing that you can just, what do they call it? Is it the Japanese call it forest bathing? You just breathe in the whole life that's there. And you can just, you don't have to be sitting there, you know, but you can just enjoy. And of course, I do go into the wood and just enjoy it, because it, I might not be serving, I might just be just enjoying it. So it's quite important for me to shut up and for you just to sit and listen and enjoy the bird.
While you let the beautiful bird song wash over you, here is poet Heather Brett reading a piece inspired by the Dawn Chorus.
Dawn Chorus by Sasha Dugdale. Every morning since the time changed, I have woken to the dawn chorus. And even before it sounded, I dreamed of it. Loud, unbelievably loud, shameless, raucous. And once I rose and twitched the curtains apart, expecting the birds to be pressing in fright against the pane like passengers. But the garden was empty and it was night. Not a slither of light at the horizon. Still the birds were bawling through the mists. Terrible, invisible, a million small evangelists. How they sing, as if each had pecked up a smouldering coal, their throats singed and swollen with song, in dissonance as befits the dark world, where only travellers and the sleepless belong.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, slán go fóill.